stick with the markets now and bring in Jason Dreho. He is head of Asset Allocation Americas at UBS Global Wealth Management. Jason, welcome to the show. I want to start with inflation, because for a lot of investors and even some Wall Street pros, they've never had to deal with high inflation, right? I mean, we've had low inflation and low interest rates, relatively speaking, over the past few decades. So what are you telling clients right now who want to preserve their purchasing power in an environment of higher inflation?
Well, good afternoon. And you're right. I think, you know, a few of us have actually really experienced inflation, you know, certainly in our professional careers. We're seeing levels of inflation that, except for some one-off periods here and there, you know, back in 2008, in 1990, really in about 40 years. So most people don't have that experience, including, I think, you know, the average investor. So one, I think we want to try and level set the expectations in these conversations with, you know, how likely is inflation to stay high, and kind of give some context, like what's actually driving inflation higher and why is it likely to persist, or we believe kind of not persist. Just kind of need to moderate back to the levels below 3%, even closer to 2% as we get into next year. So I think it's important to understand, because you don't want to overreact in ways that would be sort of detrimental to your portfolio. So one is sort of giving some context of what's actually happening. The second then is to say, well, the environment right now that's kind of leading to inflation is also tied to a very strong kind of, you know, economic recovery in the US, but even increasingly globally. So like, you know, part of that story means it's not just an inflation story, it's a growth story. So things that you can do in your portfolio and ways to take advantage of it are sort of get the benefit of both aspects, which means buying things that are sort of tied to, you know, what's in demand, you know, kind of the global growth recovery story, including things like commodities, financials, things of that sort. So part of it is to sort of play for and hedge for inflation, but part of it is also to play for kind of, you know, longer term recovery. It also means, though, that you have to be aware of, you know, interest rates are very low. So I have to look sort of for more unconventional areas, things like senior loans, which are floating rate. So if rates go higher, they kind of protect you against that. So it's sort of for allowing our investors to think a little more creatively in terms of understanding inflation, but also how to position for it right now.
And sir, I want to ask you really quickly, turn your attention back to some of the retail, you know, earnings that we've received this week. I would say you could characterize them as being pretty good, right? They're getting the job done. They're performing, fair to say. But what happens as far as peak supply bottlenecks? Are we at the peak now, or does this story continue? And what happens to margins?
So I'd say we're at, you know, at the peak or probably even past the peak, you know, and it varies by the industry and sector and components. Like even within like the semiconductor space, there's variations. I think some of the data that we would look at, whether it's, you know, the clearing of some of the containers in the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, those are coming down. We've heard from, you know, other automakers that are saying they're actually able to run up their production on, you know, kind of full capacity. And even some of the logistic companies are saying they're able to meet, you know, really strong demand for consumer spending this holidays. So I think from a, you know, supply chain, you know, things are probably past their worst. It's still going to probably take at least a few quarters for the things to sort of really be running, you know, fully efficiently. What we've seen thus far from at least for corporate margins is that higher prices haven't really weighed on demand. So even though prices have gone up, there hasn't been demand destruction from the consumer. And we're seeing this in even like, you know, the data that's coming out almost daily in terms of consumer spending for the holidays. It's very strong. They're able to absorb to some extent higher prices, which means margins thus far haven't been impacted. And then basically, if you look at the third quarter earnings season, which is largely complete, margins actually went up slightly, or at least held their own, despite a lot of concerns about price pressures. So right now, I think it's, you know, supply is meeting demand, but when prices go up, consumers for the most part are able to absorb it. And so far, companies, it hasn't really impacted their margins.
Jason, I'd love to get your take on energy, the energy sector right now, and your outlook for it, because a lot of Americans are already paying a lot more at the gas pump, and they're going to be paying a lot more to heat their homes as we head into winter with energy prices as high as they've been. Energy has certainly been a great sector for investors recently, maybe not so much for the average American. What are your expectations for prices into next year, and where are you seeing opportunities in the sector for investors?
So in terms of oil prices, we think they're actually going to go higher. You know, they pulled back a little bit in the past couple of weeks. But if we think of, you know, Brent, you know, prices or WTI in the US, we'd expect them to go higher. And from around the low 80s where they are right now to about $90 by March, so then in around 4 months, moderate a little bit as we go into later next year, but still stay in the range of like $85 kind of, in, you know, or $80 to $85. So still relatively elevated, but at least in terms of the change, you know, it's going to be a modest increase, but not quite the increase that we've seen this year. So the direction of travel is higher, but you know, not significantly so. And it's really driven by the fact that as the global economy really kind of continues to reopen, as global travel starts up again, and we just saw in the US, you know, travelers from Europe were now able to enter if they're vaccinated starting last week. So that's going to put another source of demand in terms of jet fuel. So higher oil prices, which is likely to lead to a little bit higher prices at the you know, the gas pump. But again, sort of the moves we've already seen, you know, the bulk of it, you could say, has already been done. So that it's a smaller increase from there. You know, in terms of then, like, you know, how to play it within in this space, you know, I think there's kind of a variety of ways you can do it, but within you know, within the energy sector overall, I think some of the, you know, the larger producers, those who perhaps have the scale to be able to also ramp up production, as opposed to some of the smaller companies that, you know, have kind of curtailed investment. Also, those ones that have you know, larger production have larger cash flow, and that can pay it out. You know, it's certainly for investors who've been sort of discounting a lot of the cash flow generation capabilities of the energy sector for a number of years. Now, if energy prices and oil prices are likely to stay high, you have to almost have to re-rate these stocks. And that's part of what's gone on this year, but there's sort of more upside potential. And as cash flow generation, I think if you want to look at some of the bigger companies, that's probably where we see a little more opportunities right there.
And I want to turn your attention to the labor market, which is actually the most fascinating part of this whole story to me. We saw jobless claims come out today pretty much in line with what was expected. We're at 4.6 unemployment, 3.5% was the low, you know, pre-pandemic. When do we get back to those levels? Do we get back to those levels? And then when are we at full employment? And so how does that impact when the Fed starts to hike rates? Because most analysts will say that, you know, the consensus really is that we see maybe two hikes toward the end of next year and then three in the following year.
In some way, the labor market story is really kind of the central story for next year, because it's going to drive a lot of what the Fed does. It certainly has an impact on inflation, because if wages, you know, continue to stay high or even continue to rise, that could start to flow through in broader pockets of the inflation market, and that's going to impact the Fed. In terms of when we reach those full employment, I think it's, you know, probably towards the end of the second half of next year. A couple of things that we're looking at is, you know, who has left the labor market and how likely are they to come back. So the biggest, you know, withdrawal of the labor market thus far and who haven't come back are sort of prime age workers, those, you know, roughly 30 to 45. And whether it's because of, you know, family situations, they have to deal with childcare, whether it's, you know, COVID-related issues. But we expect most of those people to come back. We also see a lot of people who've left the labor force are the lower end of the income sphere, like people who worked in the services sector. Those who might be most exposed to, you know, to COVID, you know, have maybe had concerns about going back to the labor force. But now with the wages rising, we think more of those people will go back. I guess the open question is how soon and how quickly. We know older workers have left the labor force, like those 65 plus. They were that their participation was actually increasing pre-pandemic, but maybe now because of either, you know, pandemic concerns, COVID concerns, or, you know, their home is worth more, their portfolio has gone up, they may choose not to come back. So there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of how much, you know, the participation of workers coming back. So we could reach sort of full employment or something that the Fed would deem full employment by, you know, June of next year, or may it take until the end of next year. How soon we get there, that's going to dictate perhaps what the Fed does, because if inflation is still elevated and they think we're at full employment, then there's really no reason for them not to start hiking as early as the middle of next year. Right now, we think it's probably going to be later in the year, but that's kind of the key question for much of what's going to drive the outlook in 2022.
All right, Jason Dreho of UBS Global Wealth Management, thanks for being with us today.